right, my apologies. I'm back and Michael, can you let me share my screen?
Yep, doing that now.
All right, thank you.
And we're recording.
All right, I'm just gonna make everybody bigger on my other screen so I can see you all. All right, so you do see my screen, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, good. Always want to make sure. So welcome to the last steering committee meeting. Today, what we have in store is to go over the meeting minutes from our last meeting, see if there's any changes or corrections before we call them final, and then we'll go over some additional topics, and then we'll wrap it up for the steering committee. So do I hear any changes or discussion on the minutes as they were sent out in the agenda packet?
I have none.
Okay. And I see Andy shaking his head. Anybody else? All right,
Jackie.
All right, great. So we've got a motion to approve.
Second.
And second in. Are we all good?
Yeah.
All right. Jackie and Derek. All right, so I just wanted to give you guys one last opportunity to go over anything that we might not have discussed yet, have not yet talked about. Maybe you've thought about something else in the last month. I know that we've talked about trees and open space, and we've talked a lot about lighting. We've talked a lot about density. We've talked a lot about how we wanted the town to grow and move forward. And I just wanted to give you one last chance to say anything in this setting. We have a couple other meetings that are gonna be held with the public. And as we do this final push in the next 2 months to get this adopted and on the books by July 1. But this is the more informal setting. So I wanted to make sure I gave everybody a chance to either bring up any other topics or again, to point out anything specific while we have James online with us that we need to look at specifically in the LDO text. So again, this is, you know, any topics that we might have discussed, might not have discussed, or anything that you want to make sure that we are recording so we can get it into the joint work session on the 22nd with the Board of Commissioners to hear their feedback and get their guidance on how we move forward with the LDO.
I have one thing that I wasn't sure if we brought it back up at some other point in time that I might have made a miss perhaps, but I remember at the tail end of one of our recent meetings, there was the conversation about what I was kind of articulating between, you know, open space and having a mix of kind of a definition of it, because typically it's really just kind of like public open space, where I was trying to communicate, you know, what I felt, you know, my personal vision of the town when I was using the term open space in this respect was the concept of where some of these neighborhoods I can't remember, some neighborhoods were being penalized for I can't remember what the scenario was. It was something like when the houses were farther apart, there was some sort of pushback for something in the LDO that ended up making it less desirable to do that. I think it was something like, you know, the bigger the lots, the less amount of percentage of open space got allocated. And then it was a weird scenario where it ended up being a deterrent to having large lot homes, and was, it turned out to be more the code seemed to be more of an influence to have, you know, really small condensed single family homes like we see in Carlton Point. And I remember discussing it and making a point, and I just wish to bring it up here again, that I really feel like we should be looking at it the opposite way. I think we want, you know, to have the preservation of trees and undeveloped, if you will, like unhardscaped surfaces as much as possible, so that we have, you know, a less condensed community, because I think that's going to be more attractive in the years to come when you look around at what's going on in Wake Forest, when you look at Knightdale and Wendell and the type of housing that you see up going there. It's really condensed, and I had that little bit of confusion about whether or not there was any sort of follow-up with that conversation, and I think you're recalling it as I'm looking at mm-hmm. your response here. So can you let me know how that went?
Yeah, so we have done a couple of things. With that open space definition, we have kind of clarified the open space definition, and we have done several things in the LDO to kind of pull out that open space, the different types. So we have open space in general, where you have the different types of open space based on your development, whether it's residential or non-commercial, commercial, industrial. We have different types of open space, and depending on this, either the size of the overall development or the type of the overall development, you have a certain type of open space goal that you are required to hit. And the open space goal is whether it's a small, a medium, or a large type. And then based on the size of the development, how much acreage you have to put into those small, medium, and large types of open space. So we do have that requirement in the open space. And then for the residential development, we also offer what we call a cluster subdivision. And the cluster subdivision is different from the open space requirements. It's in addition to the open space requirements. The cluster subdivision allows you to move into smaller, more dense lots with reduced setbacks. However, the overall subdivision itself has to have 40% open space. So it's a larger open space requirement. It has that tree preservation and the open space preservation that you're talking about. And that is an optional development tool for developers to use. They don't have to choose the cluster, but if they do choose the cluster, they get the mix of the smaller lot sizes with the more dense location of homes. And then overall, they have to refeed that space back with the higher amount of open space. And so we've done that for all the different residential types. We allow that cluster subdivision option in the different residential types. And then overall, for whether it's a residential development or a non-residential development, you have to have that overall open space type of, based on your actual size of the development, you have to have either small, medium, or large. And those small, medium, and large are broken out into different types. That's where they come in with the square, the plaza, the active use areas, the linear parks, and those types of classifications, where you get that mix of different types of open use. But that cluster subdivision, I think, is what you were talking about most, is where you can have that subdivision, and instead of doing large single family lots throughout the entire subdivision in one pocket of open space, you can condense the lots to a more dense area. But in exchange for that, you have to have more open space than you would normally be required for that additional density that you would be receiving. And so we switched that out to be 40%. We had a lower percentage, but based on our talks, we went back and upped that to 40%. That is what we felt was a little bit more in line with what the steering committee was asking for, because we heard less dense and more open space. So allowing that the density with the smaller lots, but requiring a higher percentage at 40% kind of gives that offset between the two. So that is what we have proposed in the third version of this draft, is the cluster subdivision with the 40% open space with the reduced lot sizes for the cluster. And then every development will have to have some sort of open space tied to it based on the overall size of the acreage, and that will be broken down into the small, medium, and large types.
Okay, I appreciate that. And it definitely sounds like that went in the better direction. So I appreciate that. Another point of clarification, and I know where I was using the term open space in probably a relatively ignorant way, since this isn't my day-to-day stuff, but because I know open space, I know enough about that term to know that it generally means like non-occupied or non-developed space or whatever. But in addition to extend that whole concept that you just explained, one of the things I talked about when we were having this conversation previously was my use of that term to include, you know, like in a quarter acre lot, like before, you know, a quarter acre lot when it's ready to be built on, it's a quarter acre of open space, like unused space until you put a 3,000 square foot home on it, then it becomes whatever, you know, a fifth of an acre of open space, right? So one of my questions, therefore, is, do we have anything in the LDO that says, you know, if you are on a half acre lot, you can use X amount of space as, you know, hard surface, versus if you're on a fifth of an acre, you can only have proportionately less? Because again, the concept here is more space, you know, more of that soft space open for the sake of a number of different things, you know, particularly water runoff is one of the things that I can admit to having on my radar quite a bit from what I've witnessed here in with recent development. So is there something like that? Because, you know, if you've got a small, you know, fifth of an acre lot and you put a 4,000 square foot home on it, you might as well be building $500 million townhomes. So is there something like that kind of proportionately, you know, makes everything across the board, across all the options, fairly even?
Yes and no. So there, it's a two-step process. So the first answer is yes, there's something setting us up for that. And then the no is we haven't implemented the program yet. That will be coming in the future. So what we've done with this, the LDO, is we do have the setup in our framework to allow for what we call the impervious surface percentages, or the lot coverage. And so your lot coverage is where your buildable space is and what you're allowed to use for, you know, putting whatever on there. Yeah. So we have a coverage in the tables and in our charts, but right now it's all as not applicable. Part of what we're doing in the near future, we have to have it on the books by March 23, is that we have to go to a local program for our stormwater, and we will be looking at our impervious coverages, what we allow on the lots. So what we've done with the LDO is we've set that framework up so we don't have to go back and change the framework. We can just go in and dump those percentages in once we get to that local program stage. We're working with the state and the county now on those programs, and the stormwater ordinance that we have in the LDO, we've moved to the handbook section, and it is based on the state stormwater model ordinance. Excuse me. And so when it's based on the state stormwater model, that is transitioning us into that local program. And that local program sets us up for being an MS4 community later on down the road. But we have to have a local program in place by 23. So the LDO does not take into consideration those percentages yet because we haven't done that framework for what we want those percentages to be. And that's the next step after July 1. What we've done in the LDO is set that set those charts up and set that lot coverage up so that right now it's kind of a placeholder and we know that part is coming. The other thing that we've done with that is we do have some infill lot requirements. So if you're, you know, if you're on a 1 acre or less and in your infill lot, your open space requirements are different than if you're a new subdivision coming in and you have 100 acres and you're doing a whole subdivision at once with the construction. So your infill lots are treated a little bit differently and they have a little bit lessened standards because they might not be able to do all the other things that a large development would be able to come in from ground up. So we do have some of those differences in place for infill lots versus for straight subdivisions coming in that are constructing. So that's how we've done it. We've kind of done it in a tiered approach. So you've got your regular subdivisions, you've got your infill lots, and then we've got the framework set up for the new local program that we'll be implementing within the next year.
That's perfect. That sounds really good. It's great to hear that forethought's in there for that framework, because I think that'll be really important for us as a town to have a good handle on that so that we don't have a lot of, you know, really crazy stuff going on. And having said that, I'll go on record, so to speak, as saying or requesting that, you know, we be very liberal, I guess is the word, with those definitions. So if you know, whatever this process you're talking about in the next couple of years happens and the state says that, oh, you know, you're allowed up to 40%, you know, I would like us to see kind of coming back on that a little bit and bring it down to something like 35% and err on the side of having, you know, less developed space on those lots rather than just accepting whatever is coming in as the max, just because it's not that I don't have a lot of faith in engineers and engineering in general, but I just feel, you know, when you look at everything that's going on in our environment, it just feels like everything just keeps getting wetter and wetter and wetter. And I'd really just like us to be as prepared as we could unrealistically be, you know, and just be like, you know, make sure there's more, you know, land on these lots than the minimum requirement is what I'd really like to see us do, because I think our community in this town can grow as a nice, big, healthy, natural, beautiful place to be, where we're not constantly turning every corner and seeing walls and sides of houses and windows. And I just think that's what's going to be really attractive to Roseville in the long term. And that's where I'll end it. So
great.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's my soapbox.
Thank you. All right. Did anybody else have anything, last minute topics they wanted to discuss or make sure that we bring in front of the board?
Find anything further on food trucks, where we're going to fall on that?
So we're going to bring that to the board on the April 22nd. What we've done is we've done a little research here between Michael, Shelley, and I on what's allowed, what's not allowed for Wake County and our surrounding sister communities. And then we'll be bringing that to the board and planning board at the joint boards for the 22nd to get some feedback on what they would like to do. So what we had discussed from our meeting last time was where they would be allowed, keeping the permit, making sure that there's a permit fee structure in place with the budget. So we've added that in, and that was presented as part of the budget document, and keeping those permits per location, per an annual permit, and then looking at the distance between a brick and mortar store and where the food truck can be placed.
Okay, it's just a continues to be a growing conversation out there in the municipal world. I think it's because the result of the pandemic and the growing interest in food trucks, and now municipalities are trying to wrestle with the next phase. So
yes, and the other thing that we did was James and I looked at the permitted uses table again, and we looked at what we allowed as drive-throughs, and we know that drive-throughs are becoming more popular because the no-touch service, and so we look at that chart again, and we had split out drive-throughs and no drive-throughs, and we looked at that and took out the no drive-throughs and put the drive-throughs in. Just because during these new times, these new modern times, those drive-throughs are becoming more popular in places that necessarily wouldn't have had a drive-through before. So we are going to be talking with that with the planning board and the board of commissioners at the 22nd meeting. And we'll take the recommendations from this group that we had and bring them forward. Anything else?
I got something.
Sure.
It was a little bit back, but we were talking about either setbacks or buffers being determined by use instead of zoning. Does that sound familiar? I sent an email to you about it.
Yes. Yes.
So I had an example where in Morrisville, somebody changed, it's an industrial district, it's all zoned industrial, and a guy went to put an extension on the back of his building, but because the use changed from, you know, making gears to doing catering, he had to put a setback on his property because of what happened on the other property. And I didn't know how that finally worked out because I think I missed the meeting after that.
Yeah, we landed on keeping it as part of zoning and not use. So we've got the types. We've got type 1, 2, 3, and 4 buffers, and they're based on more of the zoning than it is based on use. Currently, we have it based on use. And then the buffer right now doesn't change when the use changes. So we're keeping those 1, 2, 3, and 4 buffers, and then they'll be based on the zoning classification rather than the use, so that they stay consistent.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Awesome.
Any other questions or concerns? I know we have talked about a lot in the last 7 months. Well, this is not a speak now or forever hold your peace. You still have another couple of months that you can always contact me. If you think of something else, as you're driving around, you see something else in another community, and you're like, oh, we should do that. Always give me a call or an email and let me know. So I'm just going to go over the next steps so that you know when these next milestones are going to hit for us. So April 22nd, I've alluded to a couple of times in conversation today. That is our joint work session with the planning board and the board of commissioners. That's when we're going to bring back the next chunk of everything that's changed from the steering committee comments and from our latest revisions and rounds. We had a work session back in February. So this is now the next work session to help them get through what we've done, how it compares to how the proposed LDO compares to what we've currently got on the books. And then some of these last conversations that we've talked about, make sure that everybody is comfortable with what we're proposing. And if we need to make a change, that we have time to change that before we go on to the May sessions. So in May, for those May sessions, we're looking at 2 planning board meetings. We have not yet pulled the board for those meeting dates. It's possibly the 17th of May, and then the 24th is their regularly scheduled meeting. So between May 17th or May 24th, we should have a planning board recommendation for the LDO. And then on June 1st, we'll have the public hearing. That is the in-person public hearing. where all the public's invited to speak. We've been pushing out all the revisions on the What's New Plans in Progress page. We've been trying to keep that updated with all the work that we've done here, all the work that Kimberly Horn has done. We've put out the newsletters, we've put out the updates, and we've put out the meeting minutes and the videos and recordings that we've had of these meetings so that people can stay in, on track of what we're doing. So that June 1st public hearing will be the time to fully vet it before the public, and that we'll have Kimberly Horn here in person helping present the LDO that night. That will be the LDO, the appendices with the LDO, which would include the handbook, the stormwater components, the telecommunications components, all those things, and then the zoning map as well. So the zoning map that we're proposing right now is only a label change, just to take the current classifications that we have and change them to the new naming conventions that we're going to be proposing with the LDO. That way the zoning map is consistent. And then the zoning map will be updated from there with any rezonings and conditional rezonings and annexations that happen. That will be the new official town map. So that will be a label change only map. And we should have that all prepared for the June 1st public hearing. If it does not get approved that night on the June 1st, there is a work session scheduled for June 15th with the Board of Commissioners. And if we need to continue or stay a decision until that June 15th time, we have that as our backup. And then we will have the implementation by July 1. So the next 2 or 3 months is the final big push. We are expecting to have the final document back from Kimberly Horn by May 7th in time to get the agendas out for the May meetings with the planning board. So if you want to check back on our website around mid-May, you'll see the final draft before its adopted form. That gives us a little time in between the meetings. If something comes out of the public hearings, if something comes out of one of the recommendations or board meetings, that gives us a little time to make any final changes we need to for the final adoption. And so that is where we are. This is the home stretch. You guys have done excellent work. So we have been meeting since October. So this has been our I think it's our ninth meeting, actually, because we had a couple of meetings where we did a couple meetings in months to get through the big push. You have seen two draft versions of the LDO. We are currently working on that third and final draft. And again, your participation has mattered and has made a difference in this process. The things that we have talked about, we have spent time on at staff level and with the consultants going over, making sure that we fully understood, that we were able to gather information, decide what we needed to do, how to make those recommendations, get them into the document, and then bring them forward to the board for their final say. And so we've done a lot of work. It has been a good 7 months. Getting to know you all throughout this process has been fantastic. Again, we really appreciate your time. And I know it is a lot to read. It is a lot to think about. It's not your day job. It's my day job. It's not your day job. So coming through and just hanging in with us and thinking about everything and making sure that we've got a vetted process is very helpful to the town. And we really do appreciate your time. So thank you for your participation. It has mattered and it has helped me tremendously. So again, thank you. And, you know, this is our last meeting. So I'm going to turn it over to Kelly and the mayor for their final words. But again, from the staff level, thank you so much for your help. This has been a tremendous process. It has been a big undertaking and we couldn't have done it without you.
Yeah, I want to echo that same sentiment there, Julie. I really appreciate and thank the citizens and the business owners and the developers and all the experts that has participated on these calls that really, I think, you know, the staff and our consultant would have done a great job anyway. You know, they're very good at what they do, but I really think you guys added a lot of value to that in some kind of heading off some of the things that could come up later that, you know, we would require text changes and all types of stuff to, you know, to make sure, you know, we got it right. you know, it's not perfect. You know, nothing is perfect. So I'm sure we're going to have a few of those things. But I think, you know, we probably headed off a lot of them by having you guys participate and help us on this and being involved in the process. So really thank you for taking time to join us in the last few months and appreciate it a lot.
And I echo everything Mayor just said, Andy, Tim, and Derek, and then Mike Moss and others that participate throughout. It's been very helpful. Shelley, James, and Michael, thanks for keeping track of us. And, you know, this can be said over and over for the next 2 months. Julie, thanks for you trying to keep us on schedule and getting a good work product done. So thank you. And, you know, I think this has been a great effort, and it's going to, I agree with the mayor, we're not going to be done after July 1, but we've got a better product. We're going to have a better effort from here on out. And now we have a better vehicle to add to and make better decisions over time. So thank you for everybody for doing everything you did.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you. So again, next steps, if you want to watch that April 22nd meeting to see what the board gives direction to on some of those final topics, such as food trucks and adult businesses and thing, open space and the stuff like that we've talked about, you are more than welcome to watch. We will be posting that on our live channel. And then if you would like to participate in the public hearing, that will be June 1st. If you'd like to come and either give support or give final suggestions for that recommended adoption. And then come July 1 is when all the technical amendments start. So, you know, this is a living document. It's never done. So we appreciate all your time. I don't want you to think that just because we may have to make changes in the future that what you've done has not been important. It is very important. And part of a planning document is that it changes as we move forward. It's a constant learning process. So again, thank you so much for your time. That's all I have for today. So I appreciate this last 7 months with you, and you are now free to have your Thursday afternoons back. So thank you very much. And again, if you think of anything else that you need, you know how to find me. Give me a call, give me an email, and we'll make sure that we take care of you. So thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate being invited as well. I think it was a great experience as well, and everybody's ready to hang up. But I just wanted to say again, from all you guys that, I mean, as a resident and all the other guys that know all this stuff in and out, it's been a great experience for me, and it's actually been very, very enlightening and very informative, because now I can, and I already have been walking the streets and stuff and talking to people, and they ask all these, make these comments here and there, and I'm like, you guys don't know the half of it. You know, so you know, it takes a lot to do this, so I want to extend that appreciation to all you guys that have to do this, that take your additional time outside of your work as well to do this work for the town, because it's a lot of work, and it's a, you know, my father would say something like, it's a lot of invisible work. You know, there's a lot of stuff that people don't see that goes on, and this is part of that stuff. So it's hard to appreciate something you don't see. And I had the opportunity to see it. So thank you very much for having me a part of this process. So thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Everybody have a good time. We'll see everybody soon around the bend. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Roseville Rams tomorrow night. Roseville Rams.
Right.
Go Champs.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.